The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
He throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. This one is actually episode 54. I made a mistake last week, said that was 54, but this is episode 54. Now, me
great
and Alex,
catch, because that was really bothering me. I'm kidding, I didn't notice at all.
That's Alex, I'm Matt.
Yep.
We're your hosts on everything Bills from a UK perspective. Alex, how you doing?
I'm good. I always say I don't care about the draft or the combine, but here I am. Hours of research, and I'm ready to go, and I know these guys by name, and, you know, it's good. It's better for me, because I should care. I pretty much give up NFL after the season and focus on baseball, but, you know, it feels good to kind of just stay focused on it.
We've converted you at last.
Yeah, you got me.
Oh, I love it. And a special treat for everyone that later on in the show, we will be doing a pre-free agency 7-round mock draft using the Draft Network mock draft machine. But first of all, before we get into that, let's just talk about a little bit of news that's actually come out of the Bills this week. It's Leslie Frazier being given the title of assistant head coach. Alex, what's your opinions on that? Is it well deserved?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think if anything, it might be just a move to try and get him one more head coaching job. I'm sure McDermott can handle the defense by himself. And I mean, Frazier's done everything to earn another shot at being a head coach. So, I mean, great for him. Other hirings. Talking about game management and stuff like that. I mean, anything to take less off the plate of the head coach so we can worry about other things. Because there's only a few head coaches in the league that are good at, like, challenges, timeouts, game management stuff. Not everyone's good at that. And, you know, if we can get more people involved in that are more analytically, you know, adept, then great. And I'm all for it. So it's good news. More good news as the Sabres continue to give me bad news, the Bills, luckily, thank God, continue to give me good news, so it's all right.
The one thing with these other assistant hires, the one that intrigued me more, is the promotion of Jim Salgado from defensive assistant to nickel coach.
It's a rare position in the coaching ranks in the NFL. So I think that if anything, it's just the analytics showing that more attention needs to be given to that position.
Or I know I've seen some people actually say that it's possible that they're looking to probably be in a base nickel or nickel quite a lot of times in the
I'm not a fan of that scheme, because you can really run on the nickel.
And the other one which was interesting is another one, obviously, Mark Lubick was the guy that was promoted to assistant wide receiver coach in game management, and Shea Turney named assistant quarterbacks coach. So that's another one to help with Allen's development. And from what I hear, he's actually he's built himself a good rapport. So that can all be good with the support that Josh Allen gets. That we see a massive improvement from next year.
That's the hope, right?
But I say this sort of time is good, because it seems like they're trying to get everything in house sorted. I mean, Brandon Bean's come out and said that contract extensions to the likes of Dawkins, White, Milano probably will not happen till after the draft, which is what they sort of did last year when they re-signed a few free agents. So I think it's going to be a good time, and hopefully all the chat is going on between agents and players and Brandon Bean.
Yeah, speaking of Bean, I mean, he said that they're not going to make any big splashes in free agency. And, I mean, I know that GMs are giant liars, and I hope in this instance he is, because I think that we don't have a lot of needs, and everything can be addressed in one off season. If we make a big splash in free agency at wide receiver, offensive tackle, defensive end, or linebacker, then we don't need to focus on that position in the draft. So I want to see one big name player come in via free agency, and then we can use the draft to fill in the other holes, and then I'll feel really complete.
So you'd go for best player available in the draft should we get a splash out in...
Still draft based on need. I mean, my number one philosophy right now is trade down. Kind of always is. But at least in this situation, it would be better. But no, I mean, right now with Ngakoue coming up, you know, getting franchise tagged, they're going to have to be a trade there. Like, let's say, for instance, you know, a week ago, we sign him. They cut him. We sign him before the franchise tag news. Then we don't need to focus on defensive end in the draft, and then we can focus on trading down and taking a wide receiver. And then in round two, a linebacker. Round three, corner. Round four, I would go wide receiver again. I don't know. We'll touch on that when we do the draft, mock draft in a little bit. But, yeah, I want to see one big name guy, and then the rest can be fixed in the draft. And then, I mean, when was the last time I said we had a complete team? But I think we're almost there.
Yeah, probably about five pieces probably away from a complete team. But we're in the window. We've still got 2 years, assuming that the fifth year option exists for Allen and Edmonds to go. We get this. We get the trade. We get the contract extensions of White, Milano, and Dawkins.
Yeah, I really feel like all of that's going to happen. I think that there's a lot of respect and love in that room and with the executives. Like we said, we've said all along, and everyone has been saying that, you know, they're building culture, they're drafting, they're bringing in the right people. And I think the right people means guys who will stay here, not take a pay cut, but will stay here for a reasonable salary. They're not going to go out there and posture for the biggest buck possible. And that's the kind of player that I would want, you know. And I think those three guys are those three, you know, they fit that mold. So re-sign those guys, get a big defensive end, and then draft appropriately. That's what I want.
Yeah, so I think it's the window is nearly upon us. I mean, they can get a couple of good drafts in, sign a couple of serviceable free agents, maybe on a year, 2 year contract with a third year team option. Build that in as you're developing from within. You can see a window of probably within the next 2 to 5 years where the Bills get comfortable and have the pieces ready to make that push.
Well, I think the most important thing about the window is all you need are a wide receiver, a quarterback, and an edge rusher in a corner. Those four pieces, I think.
What about middle linebacker?
Keeping the window open.
What about middle linebacker? Your quarterback of the defense.
I mean, I don't want to get to, if I say yes to that, then I'm getting to the point where I'm saying you need a guy at every position, which is obvious. But I think with where the league is now, it's a passing game. So if you can get to the passer and stop the wide receiver, but also have a wide receiver and have a quarterback, then the window stays open. You look at New Orleans. You know, is the model example of a team that's windows been open and still is because of Drew Brees and previously because of who was their wide receiver before Michael Thomas?
Marcus Colston.
Colston, yeah. And now Michael Thomas, you know, they have that going. I mean, they were successful when they didn't even have a defense. So you honestly don't need to have even a full, set on both sides of the ball. So when we talk about the window, I think it's going to stay open for a very, very long time as long as we keep our own guys.
Yeah. And talking of that, let's move on to the first segment on here. You've done your note and all that. Did you actually catch any of the combine at all this past weekend?
I don't need to watch it. I've mastered the combine in 3 hours today based off of something called relative athletic score. Now, you introduced this to me and I said it's stupid, and then I looked into it and I said this is useful, but it also feeds back into my first idea that's always going to stick with me, that the combine's a crapshoot. I mean, the combine ruined. I mean, DK Metcalf should have been a first round pick last year. The combine dropped him down to late second round. So, and he proved that, you know, his combine didn't matter. You know, relative athletic score should be taken with a grain of salt, especially when I tell you some of the last two drafts that the Bills completed, the players that we got from there. Each player's measurements, physical measurements, are given a score out of 10, and based off how they compare to their own draft class based on position. So the tallest wide receiver would get a 10 at height. The smallest would get a 0. And then their combine drill results are also given a score out of 10. And then all the grades come together to give them an overall grade out of 10. So for reference, now I'd like to see your response to this. I don't know. Have you looked into the Bills' previous players' RAS?
Not in too much detail. I think I've glanced over them. I think I was mainly using it for the wide receiver segment that I'm planning to do at some point during this draft period. So I haven't had too much of a look over on previous Bills' picks.
So previous Bills picks, 2019, Ed Oliver scored a 9.88. Cody Ford scored a 6.32. Devin Singletary scored a 1.74. And Dawson Knox scored a 9.26. So tell me, of those four players, who had the best year last year?
I would probably say it's Devin Singletary.
He scored a 1.74. Now remember, when we drafted him, everyone's like, oh my God, that's a reach for a guy who isn't that athletic. He's not that fast. Sure, his measurements clearly were poor. His combine was poor, but he's a gamer, and he showed that that stuff doesn't matter, you know?
So you're more of trust the tape rather than the
he isn't out yet. I mean, yes and no, because he is an outlier. Cody Ford 6.32 very much shows his inability to stop a speed rusher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So 2018 draft class, Josh Allen, it's going to be obvious. Everyone talks about his athleticism, 9.64. Edmonds, again, same thing, 9.73. Harrison Phillips, 8.18, and Taron Johnson, 6.38. So that kind of fits, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So going from there, we will give you, I did a breakdown of each Bill's positional need and the players who exceeded and the players who blew it. Now these are based on the first players in the first three rounds, essentially. So yeah. Wide receiver, perfect score, Chase Claypool, Notre Dame. Denzel Mims, Baylor. These are players who've scored a high 9. Donovan Peoples-Jones, Henry Ruggs, Justin Jefferson, Tyree Cleveland. So those are the good wide receivers who are rated high on their athleticism. Surprising poor numbers. C.D. Lamb, 7.64. Jerry Jeudy, 6.38. And Chenault out of Colorado, 7.18. I omitted players who did not compete or are waiting for their pro day. So based off
you should class that as T. Higgins. Because he only really ran the 40.
So he was an incomplete. So I didn't include him.
Okay.
So based on this, if you're only going to draft based on this, then you have CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy dropping, but Chase Claypool rising. Donovan Peoples-Jones rising. Henry Ruggs still at the top. Denzel Mims, my favorite, actually. I'll talk about that later. A good standout. There are players who have scored high eights, mid eights. I didn't include them. My players that are given a bad score are players that get less than an eight.
Yeah.
So that's my brief analysis of the wide receivers. Like I said, take it for what you will. I see you have it up. Can you go look last year at DK Metcalf's score?
Draft class.
Going forward, we'll hit running back, offensive tackle, defensive end, linebacker, and corner. But yeah, for wide receiver, Denzel Mims I like. Ruggs won't make it to us. Mims. Justin Jefferson. So
Mims, I can see him being going probably late first, definitely early.
Yeah, like I said, my goal is to trade down for him. So
right, so we're into the draft class RAF, and it's all in.
So the website, relativeathleticscores.com, very rudimentary. You can't sort it, so you basically
I missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. You completely lost. Now you're completely gone.
How far up was he?
Well, Samuel. I don't know. Right click search and just type in Metcalf. But I wouldn't let these scores affect your suggestion, your opinion on CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy. I mean, Judy's going to be a great player. Just look at what Singletary got, 1.74 or so. I'll let you stay on that. Going to running back. Now, this is something that you're going to want to see in the fourth, fifth round, but I'm just hitting up everybody here that's going to be in the top few rounds. A.J. Dillon, good score. Cam Akers, FSU. Darrington Evans, Appalachian State, a riser. Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin. You have Metcalf. What did Metcalf score?
9.67.
And that makes sense, right? I mean, the dude's a monster athletically. So he fell, but, you know, Singletary, bad score, produced. So this isn't a direct correlation to skill yet. But bad scores at running back. Clyde Edwards, Hilaire, LSU, 5.56. Eno Benjamin, Arizona State, 6.28. Zach Moss, Utah, 3.17. So those three players that I just mentioned will be going in the, you know, second day, and they're not scoring that great. So take with that what you will. Offensive tackle. Now this stuff kind of makes a lot of sense. I think it's position specific. I think for offensive tackle, you kind of want someone who has a high score, and you want to stay away from guys who have low scores, because the combine can really show you more for an offensive tackle versus, you know, a running back or wide receiver.
And I'm guessing then it's going to be Becton, Wirfs, as top two, probably Becton at number one with the highest, and Wirfs number two.
Yeah, they were both up there. You also have Austin Jackson, USC, and Ezra Cleveland out of Boise State. Players with bad scores. Again, players that we would probably see second day, third, Josh Jones out of Houston, 7.24. Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia, 6.60. Moving on. Now, defensive end, there are not a lot of complete rankings here. A lot of players did not participate, were incomplete, were injured, or are just waiting for their pro day. So the only solid defensive end that scored high is Jabari Zunga out of Florida. Notable Bills mock draft legend AJ Epenesa out of Iowa. I knew I was going to get that wrong. I've only read his name. I haven't heard anybody say it. But 4.30, surprising. But comparing him to players at defensive line, they put him at 9.08. So that's weird, and I don't get it. Also, poor John Greenard, Florida, 5.84.
What was Chevion Clayson on?
I believe he was a did not participate.
Was he? Yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. For linebacker, another player with a perfect score, Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson.
Willie Gay Jr. up there.
Sorry?
Willie Gay Jr. up there. He's got to be top five.
You know what? He did not come up in mine. I mean, I'm not a 100% kind of guy, so I might have missed something there, but I didn't see him. Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma and Malik Harrison out of OSU. Now, those three names probably not going to be targeted by the Bills. I don't think we go linebacker early, and those three guys are going to be in the first and second round where the Bills just won't take a linebacker. Players with bad scores, Evan Weaver out of Cal, 6.76. Devin Woodward, Utah State, 3.09, and Justin Strand out of Wake Forest, 5.40. Those are the players that you might see fourth round that did poorly. Not Weaver. I mean, he's rated a little higher to go, but. Yeah, that's the crazy thing about the draft. I mean, you're going to have these lists, and then you're going to see guys rise and fall, and it's never going to be explained. It's just going to be, wait and see when they get on the field. And finally, at corner, Jeffrey Okunda, OSU. Yeah, so he's going to be a top five player. C.J. Henderson, also first rounder. He scored perfect out of Florida, and A.J. Terrell out of Clemson. Notable top names that scored poorly, Kristen Fulton out of LSU and Cameron Dantzler out of Mississippi State, 4.58. So when you consider players that the Bills will be looking at, I would consider AJ to have a low score. Possibly that drops him into early the first, and you might see some trades moving for him. But I personally wouldn't take him at 22. And Denzel Mims, riser, Claypool riser. We'll see what happens when we get there. I don't think that these scores are really going to impact anything. Maybe one or two players might rise and fall because of it, like DK. But overall, I think it's just a way to put a number on guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I found Willie Gay. He was actually third in there with 9.68.
Okay. Yeah.
Score. And I'm just, and you're probably seeing it right now, I'm just looking at the safety class on there because you've obviously got Carl Duggar.
Yeah, you have your guy.
Yeah, Jeremy Chin's another one, which is a similar type of player to Carl Duggar, who can play that linebacker and safety role, 9.97. And Tanner Muse. Another one that's
perfect, yeah.
Buffalo nickel type role. So
right. I think the need and the desire for a nickel for the Bills is probably going to stem from the fact that Lorenzo Alexander could do everything pretty much. When he was in his prime, he was a coverage linebacker and he was a put your hand on the ground defensive end. So they might be looking for someone who can play nickel corner. Safety and a nickel linebacker. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. So if people do want to see these scores, see how it's all broken down and all that, I think you did give him the website. It is relativeathleticscores.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back as far as, I can't remember how far back.
Oh, that goes back. I mean, I saw Vinny Testaverde had a really high score, so.
87, it goes back.
Yeah, so, I mean, the data's there, and this guy or whoever, the team that worked on this thing, put a lot of work into it. So it's a really interesting way to put a grade on guys' combines. It's being noticed. I mean, Matthew Fairburn, friend of the show, he used it in one of his articles on The Athletic. So it's gaining traction.
But, yeah.
On top of that, if you don't have anything else about the combine.
Just got a little bit. Obviously, everyone knows they want wide receiver see it as one of the big needs. I've actually, since the combine, been doing a wide receiver ranking, my own wide receiver ranking compared to what other people have actually got. I mean, there is so many, it's such a deep class. I mean, I've got up to 25.
Okay.
I'm not going to read all 25 out. No, that's good,
because I mean, one of my philosophies is if we don't go wide receiver in the first round, go wide receiver in the second and the third.
Yeah, because my top, if I run through my my top, I'll say 14, because there's a lot more down there. I've got Henry Ruggs as my number one. Yeah. I've got CeeDee Lamb as my number two. Jerry Jeudy as my number three. I've got Justin Jefferson, four.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel Mims, five. T. Higgins, six. Jalen Reagor, seven. Laviska Shenault, eight. People Jones, nine. KJ Hamler, 10. Ayuk, 11. Chase Claypool, he's gone up from previous ones at 12. Michael Pittman Jr. at 13. And Van Jefferson at 14. That's my top 14. Obviously, with the Wilwood Pro Days and all that coming through, then those rankings are probably going to change just a little bit, because I know some of those players didn't do certain drills at the combine. Hopefully they'll do them at their at their pro day. I mean, there is two new entries down at 24 and 25 in my rankings, and that's Southern Mississippi's Quez Watkins and Miami's KJ Osborne, the former Buffalo Bulls wide receiver. But it's such a deep draft at wide receiver. Oh, yeah. that you know the Bills, even if they take a wide receiver in free agency, you can see them double dipping in that.
But I mean, I've heard that and I agree with it, but
you're not too sure.
They're not all number ones. And no. The Bills are going to need a number one. And John Brown and Cole Beasley have 2 years, three tops as Buffalo Bills left. So that's why I'm saying draft two, because get one early and have them be your number one.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays now. Get another guy in the third or fourth, have him be the number four until John Brown gets cut next year or something. Because I think Cole Beasley has more staying power than John Brown does. It's a harsh reality. Because I love John Brown and what he did this year, but I think that he's not going to last. So if we can walk out of this with having our 2021 wide receiver class being Mims, Shenault and Beasley, then that would be a dream come true.
One thing I'm going to say look out for is obviously it's Van Jefferson. He's got great separation skill, mainly a slot, but has played on the outside. But Michael Pittman of USC, he was recently down in California, actually.
I have him on my list, absolutely. Peoples Jones too. There's going to be a lot of really good number two receivers coming in the mid rounds of this draft. I would maybe shy away from having a guy like, you know, that would be more of a slot guy, because I think that those are kind of easier to find. So, I mean, the thing that the Bills haven't had for the longest time, and they need X and Y receivers. They need guys on the outside, and, you know, that should be the focus in a deep draft like this.
Yeah, and Michael Pittman, he has been taking passes from Josh Allen down at his down with Jordan Palmer and all the quarterbacks on there. So don't be surprised if behind the scenes Josh Allen's on the phone to Bean and McDermott and say, take another look at Pittman. He could be a great addition to it. But
if I'm Bean, I'm hanging up that phone. let me do my job. All right. Shut up and throw a football, kid.
But anyway, let's move on to the next section. This is our live pre-free agent mock draft.
First inaugural. I can't believe I agreed to do this. once we get into the fourth round, I'm just going to be like, throw a dart at the dartboard.
This one, obviously, we're using the Draft Network mock draft machine. This one is straightforward. There's going to be no trades in this one. It's going to be straightforward using the 9 picks we already have.
Oh, good Lord. I want to make a trade in the first round, though. But then, I'm not paying for the premium feature on that website, so we can't do it.
Then, no. I can get it. I have said I'm going to get it. For the last show before the draft actually starts, we'll do one with trades.
All right. Well, that makes sense. I pay for The Athletic and you pay for the Draft Network. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So 7 rounds, fast speed, the Draft Network predictive board. Let's start the draft.
No, I always restart if they don't have Joe Burrow going first. So if it does, then just, okay, it did.
All
right.
There you go. So far, it's all for Walling. Herbert over Tagovailoa. It's interesting.
There's a major risk there with the health. So, you know, I imagine GMs who aren't very smart and want to start him right now will maybe shy away. So
So let's have a look. I mean, let's have a look. Jerry Jeudy went 13 to the Colts. Ruggs 12 to the Raiders, and CeeDee Lamb to Oklahoma.
It's just so early to see and how interesting this kind of stuff is going to be, because if the Colts take a wide receiver in the first round, right now their quarterback is not going to benefit from another receiver, you know?
Yeah.
They need to get, like, they're probably going to get Rivers, so, you know, that pick would be like, hey, they're going to be in contention.
And that's actually CeeDee Lamb to Cardinals, not Oklahoma. He's come from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So let's have a look who we've got on the board at this point. We've got safety in Grant Delpit, Jonathan Taylor, running back, AJ Epinesa is in there, Josh Jones, Yuto Glossomatos, I've always wanted to say his name, and then we've got Justin Jefferson, Chenault.
Good Lord, can I please trade down? Oh, I need it so bad. If I'm Bean, there's a 0% chance I'm staying at this pick unless something crazy happens.
So, like, for example, if one of the top three receivers get dropped down to, say, 16, maybe 17.
I don't know, because at the same time, you can trade down and get a player who could just be as good as them and get an extra draft pick out of it, so... I think even if they fall, I think I don't. Maybe only if, like, Chazon falls.
True. I mean, Venus has been known to pretty much only trade up. Maybe this year will be...
I really don't see that happening.
But what do you think, then? So for our first round, are we looking towards the edge? Are we looking towards...
Well, tell me what you think is more important right now to fill first, wide receiver or defensive end. Is there any other position that's more important right now than those two?
I am probably looking at a tackle as well here.
In the first round.
in the first round, this late. I mean, we've had the four come off the board already. We've had Thomas at 15 to the Broncos, which I would have thought they would have actually tried to reach for a wide receiver. Jedrick Wills 11 to the Jets, Mekhi Becton 10 to the Browns, and then Tristan Wirfs to the Giants at 4. I mean, I can't see there being...
There's nobody there to take right now at that position, you know?
Josh Jones, he's been rising up the board. Yes, his RAS score was pretty low, but we know from Singletary it's never the case.
Yeah, but, I mean, I haven't researched enough names to find, you know, a good sample size to find out if a low score is an anomaly or if it's, you know, an outlier, if it's a point of saying, like, hey, the system is broken. So I'm not 100% sure on that, but...
Well, at the moment, I've got...
So what do we got here? AJ, Jones...
and Yeta Gross-Matos. I'm thinking Edge. I'm thinking Gross-Matos or Epinesa. I mean, I've got You can see I brought up the player, the analysis report for...
Yeah.
Gross-Matos, he obviously, there are cons with him, which probably not that many. He can grow, he has needs more consistency, and he needs to figure out which is a run, which is a pass option. But you've got that speed, you've got the ability to bend, and the motor he has to actually... to show good pass rushing. It's whether they feel like they're going to hold him up as in the run game.
I'm going to stick to my guns here. I'm going to say that we need a literal number one wide receiver. And after this pick, they're all gone once we come back in the second round. Everybody else in the second and third round will be a number two wide receiver. I think. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not a mind reader. I can't see into the future. But that's just what I think. So I'm going to take a wide receiver here.
So you're thinking. So you're not thinking of doing AJ Epinesa, who can obviously who has played on the inside as well as a mismatch on there. So, or are we going to drop? We're going to drop them down and hoping that in the free agency.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, we're looking at this like free agency doesn't exist. So we need to determine what's more important for the Bills' success in 2020. Is it a wide receiver or is it a defensive end?
Well, then in that case, it's going to be wide receiver. So
really? I was about to change my mind on that. I think that for our success in 2020, we can do it with the wide receivers that we have. We need to get to the quarterback more. Because the wide receivers will be made better if Josh Allen gets better. But the defensive ends won't be better if blank happens, you know? I mean, so based on this, I'll take AJ. But my heart lies in trade down, take wide receiver. But so for the experiment that we're doing, no trades, no free agency, sure, I'll take AJ.
So we're going AJ Epinesa. At 22.
That's what I'm saying. What are you saying?
I'm leaning that way as well. I mean, obviously, if we were looking down the wide receiver one route, I would have I'd probably have Mims over Chenault and Jefferson. Jefferson, his best season last year came from the slot. He didn't have that much of a production on the outside. So
yeah, I mean, if we're taking a wide receiver, I'm taking Mims too. But honestly, we can get him at like 28, and I would love to trade down to make that happen. But not in this situation. So yeah, draft AJ. Let's move on.
So AJ Epinesa, pick 22, becomes a Bill. So C, where some of these things, Gross-Matos, 26 to the Dolphins. Ooh. Wide receivers are actually dropping quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they all pretty much... they're all staying for you. Yeah. Wow. Your draft board looks a lot different than mine.
Oh, there goes Mims. Now, 46.
Who did Denver take in the first round?
They took, let me go back.
They took the tackle?
Yes, they did. Jefferson's gone one before us to the Eagles.
Oh, jeez.
Chenault.
I've seen so many drafts where Jefferson like goes to us at 22, and if he can last that long, then we're going to trade up.
Yeah, if you're looking at, there we go, Andrew Thomas was the first pick by the Broncos. Yeah, Mims went 46 to the Broncos, 48 to Chenault.
To have Mims and what's-his-face that they have now would be really dynamite.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have wide receivers here in round two, so I think this is pretty easy for me. I'm taking T. Higgins because I want the tall guy. Rieger's the small guy. I want the tall guy.
So you're not entertaining anything else. People Jones in there.
Wow, there's like four wide receivers. Shit.
We've got, just for the listeners, we've got the board at the moment is Dobbins, T. Higgins, Rieger, KJ Hamler, a couple of cornerbacks in Trevon Diggs and AJ Terrell, Peoples Jones, Brandon Ayuk, and Cam Akers.
Yeah, so two of these guys are running back, so those are out of this question. Yeah. Isn't J.K. Dobbins the guy who's like 250 pounds or something? I mean, he would be a really good compliment to Singletary.
That's A.J. Dillon of Boston College.
Oh, Dillon, yeah. Okay.
So we're definitely going wide receiver with the second pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
obviously,
I like Higgins. Rieger's out for me, and I mean, maybe Peoples Jones, but you know,
let's have a look at the.
Thing that I looked at. I took the top 16 wide receivers, and I compared how they did against the top cornerbacks that are coming out this year and the top defenses of 2019, and Higgins did a little bit better than the rest of the guys that are listed here. So the player who had the best production against top teams was Jefferson, who just went, what, a pick early, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been the dream scenario because he, in 2019, played against five of the top college football defenses, and he did outstanding against all of them. So, where like in comparison, Ruggs had a meh 2019, only one good game in 2018. He projects better than what he did in college, but I wish we could have got Jefferson, but I'll take Higgins.
So looking at Higgins' scouting report, I'm using Joe Marino, obviously.
Yes, so read this, and so now this is what I mean. When you explain what Marino has to say about T. Higgins and Rieger, Hamler, Peoples-Jones, he's going to say that there's a glaring, a trait that doesn't make them a number one receiver. And that's why I want one in the first, because those guys in the first don't have any glaring holes. But
Higgins, so I'm just looking at the cons on Higgins. Too many times where he can't separate. He's got limited route tree ability. Then again, you've got the speed. He's got a good blocker on there. And obviously a large catch radius. But if I pick up Peoples Jones,
I think the best thing about Higgins is that he practiced against Clemson's defense, and they were a top passing defense in college football last year. So I think that he had... I think it was, I don't remember which coach it was, but someone said that, you know, it was the Oakland GM who said that college wide receivers are so hard to predict because the talent depth at corner in college football is very shallow. And Higgins actually practiced against one of the top defenses, so that's why I like him there.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm liking out of those, obviously, Rieger's my guy, but I'm obviously also liking Peoples Jones. I mean,
yeah.
Again, he's got the same. Okay, he's 3 inches shorter than Higgins, but he's still got the ball skills, the hands, and the athleticism. He's worked more of the root tree more than anything. But with him, it's a little quickness. Could it be another separation and release like Higgins? But again, it'll go back to height. Some people like height in there, thinking that's what wide receiver one should be. But yeah. I like Peoples-Jones. You like Higgins. How are we going to solve this? Is there any way you're going to budge to go to Peoples-Jones? Because I'm not high on Higgins.
Really? Why? Well, sell me on Peoples-Jones over Higgins. I'm an OSU fan, so Michigan can suck it.
No, I just think it's, yes, Higgins, he's at Clemson, he's SEC, he's played against all the, most of the big guns in there, but it seems like he hasn't got that, let's say, root tree. I think that's the one thing that's missing from his game. I think there are others that are not so high on there. I know Chris Trapizo has him as one of his top two wide receivers on the board, but with Peoples-Jones, he's got all the stuff that T. Higgins can do and actually a better route runner.
And Peoples-Jones had a horrible quarterback, so that hurts.
But then,
that helps in a sense because...
Yeah, you see the production he's done with the poor quarterback. We've come to an impasse on this one.
6'2", 208, he's just a little bit too... skinny for me.
But then again, you can get some bigger type guys. I mean, obviously, like Chase Claypool a little bit later on, or Michael Pittman a bit later on, if you want the guy with the bulk on there.
T. Higgins was a 5-star recruit out of high school. We're not moving on this.
No.
So just pick one and let's move on.
Next time we get to an impasse,
I'll concede because my judgment is biased based off of my lack of interest for Michigan players. So I'll concede.
Logically. All right, I'll concede on the next one. So we'll go for Donovan Peoples-Jones on there. I'll concede on the next one. So let's have a look, see what else it goes. Higgins went to Seattle. Oh, that'd be good for them.
They're stacked.
Metcalf, Rigor went 65.
I have to
watch. The Bengals. Willie Gay Jr., 71.
He was pretty much gone.
Duggar, 74 to the Browns. I really wanted Willie Gay as an off-the-ball linebacker. I think he would have done well. So
we have a defensive end and we have a wide receiver. What's most important next? Is it based off who's on the board, or is it based off of positional need?
Let's have a look. The team needs that we've got now left are cornerback, inside defensive lines, defensive tackle, running back.
We're not going to draft an interior defensive lineman.
So, I mean, looking at what we've got, I mean, in this round we can see more cornerbacks.
Yeah, a lot of corners left.
I mean,
it's too early to draft a running back.
Oh yeah, I think if they're going to do it, then they'll trade back up into the third for it.
Yeah.
I think four to six is your running back window.
Well, based off of what's predicted right now, quarterback, corner, tight end, quarterback. Oh my God, trade down again, you know. Don't reach when you don't need to. But is Levi Wallace your number two corner?
No. It at a push. At a push. I think looking at that, looking at what's available, Arnett, he was touted as a round one, but he slipped quite a bit. I am tempted to go cornerback on there. Bryce Hall is someone that I really like. I know he's a first round talent that slipped due to injuries. So he is, in my opinion, the steal in the third round. I think you're looking at what they're trying to do. He's got great intelligence. says Joe Marino, for his feet. He is all right in man, but I don't think that McDermott's defensive scheme wants him to play man all the time.
No, he's definitely going to be. I mean, it's interesting because usually in a nickel, I don't know, it's hard to say.
The one thing I like is it says here for his tackling, it's one of the primary areas. His primary areas, he's actually ultra competitive. He's winning in run support, and actually a good tackler, which is something that McDermott wants in his defensive backs.
Yeah, the thing on Hall though is he's more of a zone guy, and I really think we play a mix. I mean, McDermott schemes his defense to the opponent. And he focuses on your offensive weakness and exploits it. That's what happened all year last year. And I think I need a guy who can play man and zone. And Hall is only going to be a zone guy right away.
So let's go with Arnett. Let's have a look at Arnett. Again, I'm going with Marino. Press coverage, he's good at. He struggles in traffic and struggles against the run.
I mean, here's a guy who came in and his freshman sophomore year was pretty pedestrian, but his 2019 he made adjustments. I like Arnett here. 6'195", you know, typical corner size. I mean, they're growing. Corners used to be 5'10". So, you know, he's got height, he's got length. If I need to go, if corner is where we're going here, then that's my pick.
Okay, so let's just have a quick look through, see what else we've got on there. We've got Darnay Holmes, another cornerback.
A little bit shorter.
Davon Hamilton, Ohio State defensive tackle. Do you dip down and go Van Jefferson in round 3, or do you go for the likes of Amik Robinson or even a guard in Muti Nitamuti of Fresno State?
I mean, it all depends on what we do with our own guy, you know, with Spain. Spain goes, then Ford's inside, and then we need to draft a tackle. So if that situation arises, then what tackles are available, you know? I mean...
let's have a look here. I mean, I've got, you can see this now, I've got Amik Robertson, cornerback of Louisiana Tech. Great in zone. He's all right in man coverage.
5'9", 172, he's going to get knocked over. He's going to get blown away in the wind.
Okay, so let's go then for Damon Arnett.
If there's an offensive tackle here, then I'm probably saying yes to that, but there isn't, so Arnett, yes.
Ben Bartsch, Division 3, Sky, possible.
Yeah.
But, okay, Damon Arnett, you are now a Buffalo Bill.
Van Jefferson. So we got our three rounds.
So what now? So we go 4-2. So
we're feeling good at wide. You know what? Right now I'm really going to look at wide receiver again because – in real life, which, you know, this draft is not taking place in. This is a fantasy land where free agency doesn't exist. We'll be making and free agent acquisitions. So how do you want to address this? Is it going to be fill a need, or is it going to be let's hope that we do something at, you know, linebacker, corner, or offensive tackle? Let's take another wide receiver. You know, another thing that the Bills talked a lot about was TJ Yeldon, and they talked him up.
Yeah.
Maybe for trades, because, dear God, if he's going to be our number two, then I don't know. Do we need to look at running back here?
Well, the one guy I was hoping that would have stuck on the board, Memphis's Antonio Gibson. I like this guy. He can play running back, and he can play wide receiver. So he can fill in pretty much the Isaiah McKenzie, 6'1", 223, good powers, good on the gas. He actually run quite fast. He's actually good with his hands. So he would have been someone that I would have looked to target. But if we're looking on the board, what's left? I mean, you've got Chase Claypool. You've got Michael.
Yeah, I mean, Claypool's a really interesting opportunity here. You have a guy who is physical and massive and can move.
And they've asked him to play in the... Some teams have asked him to play tight end, so obviously he's going to come in as a wide receiver, but...
You put him down tight end sets? I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Because if you can get him on a linebacker, that's a massive massive advantage for us. So, I don't know.
Do you fancy doubling down on Chase Claypool then? Double dip on the wide receivers?
I do, but then I'm worried that we're not addressing tackle, linebacker, corner. But it's the position that everyone knows that we need. And here's a guy who's skyrocketing. So do you want to jump on the hype train or do you want to, you know, stay smart and draft a position of need?
Well, to be honest, the next tackle is probably going to be round 5-ish. I think looking at that board around him, you've got Michael Ojemuda, cornerback, Damian Lewis, guard, Alton Robinson, edge, Solomon Kidney.
Do you have Hakeem Adeniyi?
137. No, he's gone. He went to the Falcons at 109, pick 109.
Oof. Good for him.
I mean, we can wait and hope.
No, I think it makes sense. I mean, draft the best player when the position of need just isn't there. So yeah.
Okay, Chase Claypool it is. Okay, Claypool.
Now, hopefully the Bills don't need to think about wide receiver for years. No.
All right, let's have a look. Let's see. Anything that stands out? McFarland to Ravens seems good for them. Dylan goes to Kansas.
Mm. They definitely need to address that position.
That's a good pick for them. I like that pick. He runs fast. He's 250 pounds. So, right, let's go. So we're now five. We've got two picks in the five, three in the six. Are we going to go need or are we just going to stay true to the board?
That's a really good question. I think at this point, no player stands out more than the other. So you might want to look at drafting by need, just staying within like a 5 to 10 pick radius of over or under drafting a player, you know?
So in that case, then, I mean, we've got guard in Solomon Kindley, defensive tackle, Leki Futu, Jordan Elliott, Missouri, another defensive tackle. We're not going to think about wide receiver, but Pittman Jr. was there. John Simpson, Clemson, guard, Zunga. Do you think they're double dip on? Would you double dip on edge?
No. I think you're really worried about that. I mean, in a world where only the draft exists, you take one now and one next year because you can still get something out of the rotation that we have now.
Let's have a look at running backs. We'll probably get him a pick 149, the running back, if we go from there.
You could draft a running back in the 7th round and he can still play. So,
what sort of position? We're looking at our needs, defensive line, running back, offensive line, linebacker, tackle, tight end.
My immediate needs right now are tackle and linebacker.
So Leki Futu, possibly not. He's a defensive tackle. Right, let's have a look at them. Let's see what we've got tackle-wise.
now this is what I mean. There's just nothing there that fits into where we're looking.
Justin Herron, he'll be a late.
Frustrating. Yeah, no,
he'll be a late.
You're not taking a guy even 172 and 130.
Even linebacker.
Yeah.
Struggling on that a bit.
So we trade down again.
Okay, so we'll obviously explore that scenario when it comes to.
But let's take a guy. So based off of what we have, interior O-line.
I'm thinking
Finley's a massive guy. He just needs to work on moving laterally. You draft him because we're not signing Quentin Spain. And then, you know, everything stays the way it is. We're in the fifth round here, so let's not overdo it. So, I mean, that's my pick. Let's get depth on the O-line.
So Kinley.
Yeah.
Solomon Kinley. He is a bell. All right, so we've got pick 149 coming up.
I mean, the way I look at rounds 5, 6, and 7 is just filling positional holes. I mean, depth, you know, so.
Let's see. Ooh.
You're really not looking at starters here. So.
Futu went just before.
Yeah, you sound like me at every fantasy draft I'm at. Oh, you took him? I was going to take him.
Let's have a look. I mean, I like Jordan Elliott. He can be your guy that you sit behind Star.
We have like 5 interior D linemen still. I mean, I'm not worried about that.
So let's have a look. So then we've got
so many wide receivers. My God, this is going to be a learning lesson. The next few of my mocks, I'm not going to go wide receiver 2, 3 probably.
So
Pittman here.
If you're thinking running back, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think like it's time for running back.
I like this guy I've got brought up now, P. Ryan.
Say his first name.
Yeah, he's got that power. He's got a bit of a speed to him, but he's also good with his hands, so he's good in the backfield as well.
5'11", 211 pounds. I mean, that's going to be a guy who could take some hits and keep running. I like it. LaMichael Perrine. Perrine. So, don't know.
Perrine.
All right.
Okay. Right. So that's round 5, us done, and we've got 3 picks.
I'm feeling really good about the fixes that we've brought to the offense. I would have liked an offensive tackle, but, you know, it's not a perfect world.
Yeah, I mean, we can always find a developmental one in round 6.
I can just imagine listeners right now yelling at us, "No, why did you take him?"
But this is why we want you. This is why we said in the last episode, send us your mock draft.
You think, do it better, punks. Send me your mock draft. Let's see who does better.
Exactly.
We won't know for like 3 years, and I'm sure we'll all forget about this. But
so, well, let's have a look. Let's have a look now. So, again, defensive line, linebacker, tackle. One person I want to see, is he still in there? He might be a bit further down. Lynn Bowden, no. Victor, no. Where is he? I think he may have gone.
Is it linebacker, depth time? So many wide receivers.
It's a hybrid for me on this one. No. Find a player. Let's do it that way. Tanner Muse. Safety, but he can play linebacker as well.
Yeah, and you can get him in the 7th round.
But at the moment, we don't have a 7th round pick. We only have 3 sixes, and that's left.
Well, I'm never going to say anyone's a reach in the 5th and 6th round, so go ahead.
Because, I mean, I like him. He's 6'2", 230, safety, can play in the box as well.
Senior, I mean, he's played football. The scariest thing about this is drafting guys who were born in 1996. That's unbelievable.
I know. We were 10 at that point.
God.
So Tanner Muse we got with...
Todd Collins days. we're shortly upon us. 96 is when we lost to Jacksonville, right?
Yes. So
that was the end of it. pretty much, you know?
Yeah. That was the end of the inverted commas dynasty. So we've got two.
I remember playing Madden 96, where you had the Panthers and Jaguars were the inaugural first year. When you would play them, they would play a cutscene that's like, the new teams! And it was like super cool, you know, Sega Genesis. Anyway, this is what you talked about in the sixth round, because these guys, I mean, thank you for coming. We will put you on the practice squad.
I think Tanner Muse will make an impact come training camp to whoever he gets drafted for. So
someone's got to be this year's David Sills. So
yeah,
let's talk about him now. We'll cut him.
Let's have a look. So we've got two picks left. Still interior defensive line, still offensive tackle, still tight end, still linebacker. I'm thinking now we look towards linebacker in this one. I mean, you got Vershawn Joseph.
No, but before I got married, I stayed to a very strict three up, three down rule in terms of age. The same thing applies for the draft. Five ranks up, five ranks down. I'm not taking anybody who's ranked outside of five, you know, picks of where I'm picking, or else I'm trading down for it. So I don't like to reach. I don't like to make mistakes. And drafting outside of where guys are ranked is not my move.
So some of these guys that I'm picking up now, like Mekhi Walker, you'd say no to.
I would, but what do I know? I mean, the draft network doesn't even know when this guy was born. So who knows?
I mean, again, in these sort of...
I mean, are you looking at this guy to be the starter? That's the hard part. I mean, no football team has a standout at every position. Every team has a position that is a weakness. Is that going to be outside linebacker for the Bills in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, this sort of round, you're picking your guys that potentially are going to be your developmental guys, going to be
Teams guys. I mean, at linebacker, someone who can challenge like Julian Stanford or something. Like, is he going to compete for the starter spot? You know,
I think Walker. Let's have a look. I'm looking at Carl Krabs's report on him. He's played a number of different roles: end, line of scrimmage, off the ball. He can serve as a
room for growth and consistency. I mean, that's what you're looking at this point. So
effective tackler. He will hit the gaps well.
It's all about the philosophy that you carry in these late round picks. I mean, do you take best player available and make moves, or do you find the positional need? So,
I mean, coverage skills. He's more effective in the box, so he could be that sort of guy. He could be the Lorenzo Alexander, but then he's got good quickness.
I think because we're not doing a legit like off-season like wish list, we're only doing drafts. I think you have to address positions of need. So yeah, I'll agree with you on Mekhi Walker.
Fresno State. Off he comes, and we're coming up to the last one. So that one, let's say we can go in any direction there. We can stay true to the board. We can go, because to say this is probably a guy that if you're going to look for.
Yeah, I mean, just take any offensive lineman, honestly, as long as he's not a center. Get someone who has, you know, versatility in the position.
John Runyan.
First team All Big Ten. I mean, even though there's not 10 teams in the Big Ten, which is still weird. Sure, I mean, the guy's massive. I mean, 6'5". I mean, he's definitely going to take up space. He just got to work on his feet, as all big guys do. So,
take him then?
I'd be fine with that, absolutely. I mean, that's a name that I definitely did look at in my own mock drafts.
His dad played for the Eagles, I believe. I think.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Barring any trades that Bean makes, we don't have a seventh round pick, so
let's just let it play through. There's gonna be Gandy Golden went 198. He's my 19th receiver on my board.
Really?
And he's going round 7.
Yeah, there was a boatload of wide receivers taken in front of him. Wow.
Josiah Scott, Tyree Cleveland.
Yeah, I got to say, the middle of wide receiver boards for most people are going to look unbelievably different.
Yeah. I mean, just looking
with the importance and the emergence of the slot rush receiver role over the last, like, 10 years, I mean, a lot of guys can come out of college. I mean, more guys are coming out of college because the passing games are so important now. So yeah. It's just been huge for that position.
All right, so that wraps it up. Because there's no comp picks on here, let's recap the Bills draft, pre-free agent draft. So round one, pick 22, we went with AJ Epenesa of Iowa. Round two, pick 54, Donovan Peoples-Jones, wide receiver from Michigan. Round three, pick 86, Damon Arnett of Ohio State. Round four, pick 118, Chase Claypool, Notre Dame, so double dipping on wide receivers. Round five, we went with 137, went for Solomon Kindley, guard from Georgia, and 149, Lamical Pirine from Florida, running back. And in the sixth round, at number 168, we won Tanner Muse, safety from Clemson. 181, went with Michael Walker, linebacker from Fresno State. And 187, John Runyon, offensive tackle from Michigan. So they are the newest Bills to the roster.
Screenshot, post it, let's talk about it.
See if I can get... I can't get very good.
But you don't need to do it right this second. Let's finish the show first.
Yeah, so we'll post this up on Twitter for you guys to comment on, and on Facebook to comment on, as you give your opinion on there. Keep sending us your mock drafts. We've got about two or three in that we're hopefully going to review in the next.
And if you don't want to do the mock draft, just send me that one player you want. Whether it be in the first or second or third round, that one guy that you think is going to be dynamic, let me know what you want out of this offseason. Free agency, trades, draft. Let us know. I mean, we're in the dead zone right now until April, so we need stuff to talk about. So bring it on.
So yeah, so give us any hot take, even if you got hot takes or
love
questions you want to ask us. Get them in, draft, free agency, send us your mock draft, send us a player you want us to review, just anything, just to help us, well, not help us, help you learn a bit more about him. Let us review your drafts, see if you can do better than what Brandon Bean can do. You can do it with the trade if you use the mock draft at the Draft Network, or you can do it straight up, all nine picks. Send them in, let us know, and we will review these. We will answer all your questions and your hot takes.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, on Facebook, we had a nice post a few hours ago from Mr. Turner Evans with a lot of posts about what they would do with re-signs, extensions, buyouts, and draft picks. So it's good stuff. We'll review that, and we'll talk about that on the next show.
Yeah. So you got anything else to add?
It's almost midnight. I'm ready to go to bed.
That's fair enough. So
stay safe, everyone. Stay inside. The coronavirus is out to kill us all. So be safe.
There's a public health warning from Alex.
I mean, I still plan on going to Japan. I mean, I'm 33. It's not going to kill me. I'll be fine. This is my dream trip, and I'm not about to let some silly flu stop me from going. Well, I mean, if there's less tourists, then great. You know, it'll be fun. I mean, I'm not a public health official. I'm not I'm no scientist, so I don't know.
You get to self-isolate yourself and actually learn a bit more about the draft and the draft picks that we're going to be
How great would it be to have 3 weeks off of work and then come back and then be self-quarantined for 14 days mandatory? I'll take another 2 weeks off. Yes, please.
Yep. Yeah. So
I have it.
So on that note, and a dying Alex over over there, actually dying from coronavirus. Until this time, until next time, keep reviewing. Leave us that review, that 5-star review. Keep subscribing.
And tell all your friends. We need more Bills fans.
Exactly. And follow us on all social media. And from me and from Alex, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us. Not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No.
Huh?
No.
That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.